Christ lives among us, calling us to be a blessing, calling us to heal and transform the brokenness and the violence of our world. The risen Christ lives among us, calling us to worship God, calling all people of all ages and stages of life to join their voices in praising God. Lord our God, we come before you this day with a desire as we gather in this place to give you our worship from our hearts, to give you the very best that we have, because Lord, you deserve that. You have done so much for us in showing your love to us in and through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let us join together and pray now as we confess our sinfulness before the Lord in all honesty. I invite you to pray together a prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. God of all wonders, we gather in this place to praise your name and to give thanks for our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who is seated at your right hand to intercede for us. Forgive us for all the ways that we worry and fret, rather than trusting in Jesus, who lived a life among us and sympathizes with all our weaknesses and woes. Help us to trust in you and to find in you all the strength we need to face life's struggles. We pray in the name of the interceding one who cares for us. Amen. Scripture tells us if we confess our sins, God is faithful and God is just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So Christian friends, accept and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are completely forgiven. Amen. Time has come. You've been practicing, and now it's time to sing your very best. So I'm going to invite the Play School Choir to come forward and sing some songs for us. right. Thank you so very much. Y'all did a great job. You think these people could do that like you just did? I don't know. Thank you. You did a great job. We're going to invite you now to go downstairs to the fellowship hall for a special children's church with Miss Julie. And if there are any other children, third grade and under, who would like to join them, then you're welcome to go out too. I didn't want to lose the whole crowd. You know, if you give people a chance to leave, you know, some people just take that chance, you know. So. Thank you for staying. Well, today is a very special day in the life of our congregation, both because it's Play School Sunday, but also because we get to celebrate the sacrament of baptism today. So I'm going to invite Dana Mosley and husband Ben Zipper and Nico to come forward, along with elder and grandfather, Phil Mosley. Phil, there's your microphone. We're so thankful to have you come today to present Nico for the sacrament of baptism. Phil, do you have anything you want to say?
This is a glorious day for our family.
Absolutely.
Thank you for all sharing it with us.
Yes, absolutely. We're so glad that all of you could be here today.
My daughter Lauren and her husband Rylan with us today also.
Yes, we're so glad that y'all could be here. And so this is a very special day. And what we're going to do is I'm first going to ask questions of the parents. And then Phil will have questions to ask of you as a congregation because you have a part in this as well. So first of the parents, do you reaffirm your own faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Do you claim God's covenant promises on Nico's behalf, and do you look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation as you do for your own? Do you now unreservedly promise in humble reliance upon God's grace to set before Nico an example of the new life in Christ? Do you promise to pray with and for him and to bring him up in the knowledge and love of God? Phil has some questions for you as the congregation.
Now to the congregation. Do you, the members of this congregation, in the name of the whole Church of Christ, undertake with these parents the Christian nurture of this child, so that in due time he may confess faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Do you? Will you endeavor by your example and fellowship to strengthen Nico's family ties with the household of God? Will you?
All right, let's join together in prayer. Oh Lord, we thank you for this very special day and what this means in this family's life. We thank you for Nico, who is a special gift from you, and we pray now as we place this water upon his head that you'll set apart this water from its common to a holy use and that you'll confirm in heaven what we do in this place. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Got to get to his head. What is his full Christian name?
Nico Benjamin
Mosley, child of the covenant. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's okay. We're going to go for a little walk. Now, Nico is 7 weeks old. So, all these things are new to him. And I want call your attention to what he's wearing today, because it's very special. The outfit that he's wearing, Ben wore when he was baptized, And then the hat that I had to take off to get to Nico's head, actually Dana wore on the day of her baptism, right? Okay, yeah. So got that family connection. He won't look at me, but that's okay. Isn't he sweet? Yes, yes, he is. Well, he's a precious child of God, and we recognize that today. You notice, though, Ben and Dana don't live here, and you notice in the questions that Phil asked you, he asked you a question on behalf of the whole Church of Christ. So even though they don't live here, you're answering questions so that where they do live, that there will be a church there that will nurture Nico and help them. And we obviously want to continue to help them any way we can as well. So let's close in prayer today. Oh Lord, even as I hold Nico in my arms, I thank you for him, for what he means to his parents. I pray that you'll be with Ben and Dana. Give them all the strength that they need to be the faithful parents that you've called them to be. It's a hard job. It has so many twists and turns, but I pray that you would be there for them each step of the way and strengthen and encourage them in every way they need. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You did just fine. Yes, you did. It's going to be okay. And you will get fed again. God bless you. God bless you. We're so thankful. God bless you. Thank you. Well, for play school parents, grandparents, and friends who are still in here, I want to tell you that I love having your children here throughout the week, and I get to do chapel time with the threes and the fours, teach them stories of the Bible, and try to teach them in a way that they can at least begin to understand them. If we will only learn, children have lots of ways of teaching us things, right? I read about the parent who was working from home doing a conference call one afternoon, and her daughter came home on the school bus, came inside, and the mom paused her conference call and asked her daughter how her day was, and the girl said, "Shh, go back to work. I'm going to my room to make a list of things I want you to buy me with the money that you're making right now." Children are smart, you know? Don't sell them short. I also read the story of the parents who took their little girl to the pediatrician for her annual checkup. She was three. The nurse gave her all the standard commands to kind of check her out. Touch your nose, put your hands up in the air, jump up and down, and then she told her, stand on one foot. And the girl kind of hesitated for a moment, and then she walked over and stood on one of the nurse's feet. You know, children can be very literal, you know. But it's a challenge sometimes, but I try to meet children where they are and find ways to make the Bible come alive to them. And I want to do that with you today, if I can, in a little different way. If you'll look in your bulletin, the insert that's titled My Bible Is Like, I don't know about you, but I am a visual learner. If I can visually see something, I remember it a whole lot better than if just somebody just talks. So I thought I would give you lots of images today of the Bible. And then if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119, that will be our scripture for the day, page 567 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 119 is a unique piece of literature, really, anywhere, but especially in the Bible. It is an acrostic psalm with 22 stanzas of 8 verses each. What that means is there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each stanza of the first 8, for the first 8 verses, begin with a word that starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The next 8 verses, the second. You go home and take A to Z and try to write something that makes any sense, where all the first 8 lines start with A and all the next 8 lines start with B. It's hard to do. I couldn't do it. But Psalm 119 has done it. And in addition to that, it celebrates God's word or God's covenant instruction to God's people. So much so, there are 176 verses in Psalm 119, the longest psalm. All but seven of those 176 contain an explicit reference to God's word. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 9. We'll just look at one of these stanzas, and I'll point out all those references to God's word. Beginning with verse 9. How can those who are young keep their way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your... Do you see how God's word is all the way through this psalm? So I wanted to emphasize today the great value of the Bible. And I'm playing off one of the songs the kids sang. That's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. Now, if you'll look at that insert and start looking at those pictures, you'll see what the Bible can be for us. The Bible is a counselor. The Bible can guide us. That doesn't mean that it has the answer for every question. For example, should I buy a Ford or a Chevrolet? You know, the Bible doesn't tell you that. But it gives you principles to guide you in every area of your life, if you'll just let it. It can be your counselor. Then my Bible is like fire. Jeremiah says, I will make my words, or God said to Jeremiah, I'll make my words in your mouth a fire. God, when God puts God's word into our hearts, it burns into us, and not a fire like the kind of fire that hurts you, but the kind of fire that is alive and active, and it changes you. It doesn't leave you the same. And then gold. The ordinances of the Lord are more precious than gold. My goodness, if I offered you a pretty good-sized piece of gold today, that would get your attention, no matter what the value happens to be right now. But the Bible says that God's word is even more precious than gold. And then the Bible is like a hammer. Is not my word like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? It has a way of driving home to us what we need to hear. And it can break our stony hearts. You know, sometimes our hearts get hard to God, where we want to go our own way. And God says, no. This is the best way for you. And the Bible has a way of breaking that up and showing us that. And then the Bible is like a heritage. Here's one you might not have thought of. Your statutes are my heritage forever. When you hear the word heritage, what do you think about? Maybe you think about your family heritage, those who have gone before you, and maybe how they set an example for you in certain ways. Well, the Bible can be your heritage to provide that for you. And then the Bible is like honey, sweet, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Doesn't mean, of course, that you taste it, but that taste is so great that it leaves that sweet taste in your mouth. And then the Bible is like a lamp. Your word is a lamp to my feet. You think about the darkness. How many times have I been in a dark place, maybe, and there's a path, and I'm not used to the path, don't know exactly where it is. I pull out a flashlight. I've got to see where I'm going. The Bible provides that for you so that you can see where you're going in life. If you have something going on in your life right now that you're unsure of, the Bible can provide that kind of light and guidance. And then, like newborn babies, we just saw Nico, like newborn babies crave spiritual milk. You know, babies have a way of letting you know when they're hungry. Any time of the day or night, right? Well, like that, the Bible is milk to us. The Bible feeds us. It gives us the food that we need. Now, some of you are already thinking about lunch right now. You've already made plans. You know where you want to go. And you're thinking about food. Well, the Bible is that kind of food to us, except it's better than the food that we eat because it lasts forever. And then the Bible is a mirror. James talks about those who look in the mirror. Do you look in the mirror before you go out every morning? How long? If you're like me, you don't look very long. But, you know, you kind of need to take a glance, make sure everything's in place and all that. But the Bible says if you look and you see something wrong and then you go your merry way, then what good is that mirror? But the Bible is the kind of mirror that shows us. Now, sometimes I don't want to look at myself. And I'm not just talking about my physical. I don't want to look at who I am as a person. You know why? Because it's kind of painful. Maybe there's something in my life that ought not to be there, and I kind of don't want to own up to that. But the Bible shows us that in a way that we need to see that. We need to see who we are so that we can gradually change into who Christ wants us to be. And then rain and snow. As rain and snow come down from heaven and don't return to heaven without watering the earth, so is my word that goes out from my mouth, says the Lord. In other words, it makes a difference. Can you tell a difference if we've had rain every day for a month or if we've gone a month without any rain? Sure you can, in so many ways. Some of you have flowers and gardens and things, but even if you don't, you can tell a huge difference. The same way with God's word. You can tell a difference if God's word has been entering your life or if it has not. And then seed. The seed, Jesus said, falling on good soil refers to people who hear the word and understand it. That parable of the sower that Jesus told. God's word is like that seed that is thrown out. You know, every Sunday, it's as if I take God's word and throw it out. Now, there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is God's word. What makes the difference is the soil, that's you, that it falls upon. For example, if your heart is hard, like soil that doesn't even let the seed go down in it, then it's not going to produce any fruit. Jesus says, your hearts need to be open to receive God's word like seed. And then back to food. Then it's not long before I get back to food again. Solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature. What the writer of Hebrews is saying there is milk is okay for Nico. Okay? But if Nico drinks that the rest of his life, something's wrong, right? We need to grow up. We need to grow up in our faith. We need to not stay the same. And you know how we grow? It's through the Word of God that helps us grow and change so that we can receive meat and not just milk. And then a strong tree. Those who delight in the law of the Lord are like a tree planted by streams of water whose leaf does not wither. Trees are, you know, you think about that image of a strong tree. Trees are beautiful, beautiful part of creation. Well, those who delight in God's word are like that. They bring forth fruit. They, you know, like a tree with the leaves, as opposed to a withered, broken, dying tree. Those who delight in God's law and the word of God, they flourish like a strong tree. And then the picture of a sword. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, that might not be pleasant. I don't want to take a sword and be pierced by it. That would hurt. But yet, what the writer of Hebrews is saying, the word of God is such that it can, like a sword, get into the real you. Now, you know, I'm standing up here, dressed up, my robe on, all that. Well, I don't dress like this at home. You know, when I get home, I'm not like, I'm the real me. And the Word of God has a way of showing us what our real thoughts and attitudes and our hearts really are. That's who God is concerned with, not who you portray yourself to be to other people, but who you really are in your heart. And then the last one, water. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Now that reminds me of the water of baptism. The water of baptism is a sign and a seal of God's cleansing. That's why one reason we use water. And so the water of the word is a a sign, a symbol of God's cleansing of us that washes us. You know, it's hard to take a bath without any water. Water has a way of washing us and washing over us to wash off the things that are on us that need to be washed away. Well, the Word of God is like that for us. So back to Psalm 119. I delight in your decrees, so I will not neglect your word. That's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. I remember over 50 years ago now, I'm telling my age, over 50 years ago, I sat in a little church, in a little classroom, with little chairs, and was taught that song. The B-I-B-L-E. My mother's here. She was probably playing the piano for me. She's been playing that long and more. And as a little child, I sang that song, and it resonated with me. I remember it to this day. And I, as a little child, I thought, yes, I love the Bible. But you know what? If that was the end of it, then the Bible wouldn't be part of my life today. We have to take that thought, that's the book for me, and carry it with us throughout our whole life. Every stage of life, we need to keep on saying, that's the book for me. Not too long ago, I was talking with a woman who knew that she was dying, and her whole family knew that. And she said, she was very clear and lucid, and she said, you know, I want somebody to go and get my Bible and bring it to me. I have marked some things in it that I want to see one more time for myself. Here she was at the end of her life, and what she was saying was, that's the book for me. You see, it needs to start with us, and it needs to carry us through our whole life, where we constantly say, I need to study God's word and learn more about God. Now, I've studied the Bible all my life. Do I understand it all? Absolutely not. Do I remember it all? Absolutely not. I need to keep going back and letting God's word teach me, because I'm at a different place in my life than I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And so we all need to continue to say to God, that's the book for me. That's the book I need to guide me and show me and point me in the direction. Now, sometimes God tells me, all right, Steve, that's the direction you need to go. And you know what I say in essence to God? I don't want to go there. I want to go over here. But you know what? In the end, I find out God was right. That is the direction I need to go. So I need the Bible to continually point me. So I ask you today, is the Bible that important to you? If you say yes, but it just sits at home and you never pick it up, or never read it on your phone or wherever you read it, then it's really not that important to you. I want to encourage you today to join me in saying, wherever you are in your life, that's the book for me. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you and praise you that you have given us your word. What a great gift. That it was inspired long ago, and then it's been preserved and translated into a language that we can understand and that we can read. Lord, we don't have all the answers to our questions about the Bible, but we still believe that it is the book that you have given us to guide us. As it says about itself, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. We need that eternal word in our life because, Lord, it is our tendency to go our own way and not listen to the instruction of your word. Lord, help us to be willing today to say, Lord, I give up trying to live my life my way. I want to live it the way you want me to, because ultimately, Lord, you know best. We fight against it, but then we find that you really do know best in the end. Lord, we do pray this day for everyone who's here. We pray that you would bless them as they seek to follow you. We pray for those who are not with us, especially those who are in hospitals and need your care. We pray for every one of them that you would be near them and give them strength and healing. Lord, we continue to pray for Dana and Ben on this day of Nico's baptism. We pray that you would continue to give them the strength that they need to follow you and to raise Nico in the way that you'd have him to go. Lord, we thank you that you bless us in so many ways and bring people into our lives that help us and encourage us. May we be that for each other, Lord. Even as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now be generous in the gifts that we present to God's glory.
In Jesus we grow.
Oh Lord, this day we bring you our praises and we bring you these gifts as a sign of the way we praise you and love you in return for all that you have done for us. Receive these gifts now to your glory, we pray through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Visiting with us today, we're especially glad that you are here today and hope you received a blessing from being here. Where are you standing today? If you're standing on the promises of God found in Scripture, then you're standing on a firm foundation. If you're standing anywhere else, then you might be in trouble. But when you stand on God's promises, you know they are sure. So as you go from this place, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, now and forevermore. Amen.
about the river.